Gamma Crush back in your tweeter with that B&D approach, and this week I have a guest on the phone, formerly one-third of Little Brother. We have rapper Big Pooh. During Little Brother and post-LB, he's done many features, many projects. Pooh, please tell the listeners about your most recent opus.
Single called Relax Yourself, singles featuring Moses, my man out of Chicago, very talented singer. And I just wanted to do a joint that paid homage to, you know, one of my favorite groups growing up, one of the groups that inspired me to do what I do. And, you know, it was around the time where a lot of the talk with the younger generation, you know, not knowing who some of the older guys were that paved the path, but sort of, you know, nonchalant in the way that they didn't know and didn't care to know. So I just wanted to do that joint to pay homage to some of the guys that I respect and I listened to growing up, and Relax Yourself was born.
Because I remember you did something, I was going to save this for later on. You did one where you paid homage to Prince, but this was like, I think maybe 5-6 years before he passed.
Yeah. I did a whole project paying homage to Prince. That was brought on. I got a hand of Black Milk's instrumental, where he chopped up a whole bunch of Prince records and made a beat tape out of. And I just took that beat tape and made my own little mixtape to go with those beats. And I had thought about doing one for James Brown. I thought about doing one for somebody else, but I just never ended up doing it. And with this one, so it's not a whole project that I'm paying homage to. It's just one song for this one.
Okay. I remember when LB first came out, and I was hearing a rumor that one of you guys was related to Q-Tip. And though he's not exactly a Tribe member, but Native Tongue affiliate, they're also comparing Mos Def to Fonte, saying that Fonte sounded a lot like Mos Def on that listening LP.
It was a thing of, you know, we're not, as far as any of us know, we're not related to Tribe at all. But it was one of them things when you first start off, you know, everybody is inspired by somebody. Mm-hmm. And you draw from those inspirations. And you end up sounding a little like those that you draw from. Like, we did skits like De La, sounded like Tribe, sounded like Slum. So we had all those comparisons, and those are the people that we grew up listening to and were listening to at the time. So we were going to sound like them some. But it just took us some time to get into our own rhythm to sound like 100% like Little Brother. It's just a part of borrowing from those that you looked up to, those that inspired you, and then put it in your own little mojo and creating you.
Definitely. I never thought, oh, these guys are trying to bite Prince Paul. But, you know, you had that influence, not influence, what you were borrowing. Well, more so flipping stuff from film and television. Like at the end of every skit, there was always a singing ad lib or riff, which was also the same thing done at the end of every scene on the Rock TV series. And one of those skits was a parody of Samuel Jackson's character Gator from Jungle Fever, where this character was jacking samples, whereas Gator was jacking people. Those ideas, it was far from what De La was doing or anybody else, and you guys had your own mojo with that, especially Ninth with his beats. I saw a little bit of a Pete Rock influence, I would say, at first, but then I looked up who he was sampling. The Way You Do It was sampling a bluegrass artist by the name of Tony Rice, and a UK experimental rock group, Stereolab, for Yo-Yo. But even that song with Yo-Yo, and you're talking about these guys doing these shows and these spoken word poetries, My Black Queen Ain't No Nan, and I mean, I guess you were basing those off of actual events that happened locally around your area.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Yo-Yo, definitely. Everything we did was inspired by true events in our life. And the Yo-Yo in particular, since that's the one you were just talking about, that was actually a real event. Fonte was hosting a poetry night at some spot, and I just happened to go. Like, I just went out. I was the guy. I was always out at the time. Like, I was the guy that was in the club. So I was like, oh, man, I'll go with you. I'll check it out. And so we went, you know, always looking to see if any girls going to be there. And I went, and we was in there, and just the aura of what, you know, how it was, it just put us off. It's like, yo, this is, we don't like this, or we don't like how they act here. And then you see them same people in a different element, and they're not acting like they were in that spoken word element. And you like, that's the same person from the, that was acting funny? And that's kind of how that song came about, just life's observations, and that's how most of our songs came about.
And in the end, You guys made a masterpiece in The Listening. What I noticed from looking up your wiki,
you're not originally from North Carolina. You just went to school in North Carolina and you grew up in Virginia?
Yeah, I grew up in Virginia all the way through, graduated high school in Virginia, and then I came down to North Carolina for college and never left.
Have you ever worked with anybody back in Virginia since you've been doing this hip-hop thing? Isn't Knots from Virginia, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, Knots is from Virginia, so definitely him. I mean, guys that aren't notable, I think I've done a few things with some people back from Virginia, but nothing heavy. I actually had a question about the scene where I grew up at, and I was explaining to the person that I didn't know of the scene. Like, at the time, I mean, I was always into music, but not, like, I ended up getting into music when I came to North Carolina, so that wasn't anything I ever really checked for. Like, yeah, I dibbled and dabbled. You know, everybody dibbled and dabbled, writing songs and stuff, but I wasn't really hip or up to on the scene from where I grew up at because I wasn't there anymore. Once I moved down to North Carolina to go to school, I pretty much stayed in North Carolina. Like, I would come home for a few months out of the summer, but that's it. Like, I stopped coming home for holidays, all that. Like, I became engulfed in what was going on in North Carolina. That became home to me. So a few cats from up there reached out. We've done work together, but I have done a lot of work with people back in Virginia.
Okay. And, you know, I've always wondered, because you were wondering how the scene was in Virginia, it just was when you saw where you guys were from, North Carolina,
they may have thought, oh, they're from a southern U.S. state, and they ain't crunk. Instead, they have this real hip-hop sound.
Which was interesting. And the only act I remember from North Carolina, I think it was Yag Foo Front.
Yep.
Then years and years later, you guys came, and then it was a continuation from there with Justice League, and then I think just a lot of more southern states were doing what you guys are doing or something similar with having that sound, or that being in that genre of music. A lot of people, more people were opening up. Like, for example, Dynast, who I think it was out of Atlanta or Florida.
Florida.
Yes.
Nah, it was just a thing of, the thing about the South is, even though parts of the South had their own particular sound, we listened to everything. Like, it wasn't as regional as the East Coast was or as the West Coast was. And so we partook in everything. And then you have a lot of people that came from the North or the Midwest or the West, and they migrated to the South to go to college or move with their families for better opportunities or whatever it was. So they took the influences that they had in their particular regions with them. And, like, speaking about North Carolina particularly, it's a melting pot. There's so many colleges and universities here, and you have so many people coming from different parts of the U.S., and they come down here like me, and they end up never leaving, and they bring those regional styles with them. And so you have all that going on, and then you've always had people in the South that didn't sound like what people traditionally associated with the South was sounding like. You just never really heard those people. And I like to think that because of the success of A Little Brother, it opened up the door for people to be more welcoming to a lot of other artists and cats that were coming from the South that didn't sound like what people typically perceive the South to sound like.
No doubt. It had me think, if I was ever in North Carolina or anywhere else in the U.S., I would definitely want to hit up an event that showcases real hip-hop or even that particular type of hip-hop. I usually try to look for that more in radio just to see if there's another program like mine.
Yeah, it's a lot of that down here. That's, I mean, you have a mix of everything still. Like, it's no different today than it was 15 years ago, you know, when we... You know, first form Little Brother. It's no different today. You know, you still have people sound like what you would associate the South sounding like, trap music and all that. But then you have your Rhapsody, you have your Lutes, you have your King Mez, you have your De La Santoys that come out and sound like something else, but they're from here.
Mm-hmm. From my understanding, you started out doing poetry, and then when you got into college, you started doing hip-hop. Is that correct?
Yeah, man. I was, you know, I wrote poems I wrote short stories. I'm just a creative writer, period. I love writing. I love stories. I love just the art of it. And so that's what I started off doing. You know, I played the trumpet for a little bit in high school, but I wasn't really a musically inclined person. And I just love writing. So when I got to college, I've always loved music, but when I got to college, or like music, I'll say, I started meeting people that were more like me or more intense than I was when it came to music. Mm-hmm. And that kind of drew me in a little bit more to see it. This isn't something I saw as a career. This isn't something I saw as was going to take me around the world. I didn't think of it in those terms. I was just like, oh, I like to do it. I like it. I can turn some of these poems into rap. You know, it was one of those things. And it just kind of snowballed from there.
When you think of how poetry can be expressed, same goes for rapping. At times, it can be pretty emotional and pretty heartfelt.
And I think the most passionate I've heard you in a verse was the one joint you did with AZ. I think it was about 10 years ago, Rise and Fall.
Funny. I just listened to that verse or that song the other day.
Yeah, how did that come about?
We did the mixtape, the Chitlin' Circle 1.5, and we did it with Koch. It's E1 now, but it was Koch at the time.
The record label, right?
Yeah, the label, yep. And so we did that, and, you know, we kept relationships over there. And one of the guys reached out and was like, yo, we working on this AZ album, and we would love to get a joint from y'all, whatever. And we were in New York, so we went over to the studio. AZ wasn't at the session, and they were just like, yo, he said y'all can just start it, and he'll pick up wherever y'all leave off. So we had the producer in there, and he was just going through beats, and we picked one we liked.
You guys picked the beat for that?
Yeah, we picked the beat for that, yeah. It was just one of them things. AZ was always one of my favorite rappers growing up. I loved him with Nas. I loved the first album, Do or Die. And so I just knew I had to come with my A-game when I was on it. And then we were right in my wheelhouse. We were telling stories. We were telling the story. That's what I do. I'm a storyteller. So it was right in my wheelhouse, one of my favorite rappers. And I was like, I got to be in this moment, and I got to show up. So that's what I did.
And you really knocked it out of the park, scored a touchdown with that verse.
Thank you.
And I think this was maybe about a year or so after Sleepers. And Sleepers was just, I think that was like in between both Little Brother albums, between The Listening and Minstrel Show. Yes.
Yep.
How soon after did you start working on Sleepers right after The Listening?
Well, it was a process. Right after we recorded The Listening, I'm talking about before we even put it out, right after, I started just recording. I've always, not so much now, but back then, I recorded at a high clip. I was very prolific with recording, and it was all in an effort to get better. I was always trying to get better. I was always trying to work on my craft, and what better way to do that than to record songs? So my manager, now business partner, Doe, he used to always push me like, yo, you need to do an album. Like, do an album, do an album, do an album. And I started a few times, but I really didn't know about going in the direction. I didn't have any rhythm. I was just recording records. So finally, the crazy thing is I had recorded Heart of the City.
Ah, yes. Where you're shouting out all the local cities at the end. I'd shout the Canadian cities when I get to the part of that song when listening to that track.
Yeah, and I actually recorded that song, and we got into a serious debate amongst the group about replacing Groupies Part 2, which led the album off with Heart of the City. So I had it recorded before we even released The Listening. And, you know, we didn't do it. We ended up keeping Groupies Part 2 on The Listening, but that became the start of Sleepers. And it ended up being me and Crisis basically tucking ourselves away for the most part, bulk of that record, and just going at it. It was my album, but it was like both of our coming out parties. Him as far as being a beat maker and the producer, and then me being a solo artist. So it kind of, the bulk of that album probably got recorded in late 2003, 2004. And we just went to work, man. It was one of the things, once we got into a rhythm, we was in that rhythm and we locked in and we got it done.
Another song from that Sleepers LP was Just Friends. I remember seeing you perform that song live in Toronto back in 2005. What was cool about that performance was you and the Justice League guys do this dance number, like a singing group from the 50s or 60s, and the girl I was with at the time slapped me in the arm for singing the hook, "I Just Want to Be Your Friend and Not Your Man."
Hey man, my wife loves my music, and that's the one song she would not listen to.
And from what we gathered from this Sleepers record, it came out barely 2 years after that Listening LP and the first Chitlin' Circuit mixtape, as if there was absolutely no hesitation.
Nah, it took some work, man. It took some work. Obviously, when I was going in then to work on stuff, I never approached it like it was practice. I knew it was practice, but I never approached it that way. I approached it like every song I recorded was going to come out. And even though that wasn't the case, I just did that for me. And so I can go back and hear what I sounded like doing certain things. And I ended up releasing basically all the songs I recorded, well, almost all of the songs I recorded that didn't make it on Sleepers, that I recorded it before Sleepers were complete. It was a project called Sleepers Narcoleptic EP.
Okay.
And it was basically, I put that out a couple of years ago. I think it was like 9 songs that I recorded during, either before or during the Sleepers period, what that didn't make the cut. And then the original Just Friends. The Just Friends that's on the actual album, Crisis had to give me another beat for, because he lost the session for the original Just Friends beat. So that is the remix beat for Just Friends. I had the original 2-track of Just Friends, and I put that on the EP. But I don't record like that now, but at a time, probably between 2002 all the way up to about 2011 or 2012, I always had an album's worth of material just sitting around, always. I could put an album together. It may not sound like it went together, but I could put an album together at a moment's notice from 2002 to 2012. That's how much I recorded.
Praise. How did you hook up with him? The guy who's produced this recent release of Relax Yourself.
Yeah, I actually hooked up with him through a business partner, Big Doe. You know, they ended up linking up, and once they linked up, he's just always been part of the extended family for me. We actually have another single, that's the ironic part. We haven't done a project together. He's not on any of my albums, but we have 2 singles together. I did another single a couple of years ago with BJ the Chicago Kid called Last Dance, and he did that single as well. But he's just a very talented guy, man. Very dope producer, and I love working with him. I think he's out of Baltimore. So like I said, just linked up with him through my business partner, and we've been rocking ever since.
Big Doe, I know you've been working with for a while, like I think even during the Listening days, because I've heard you guys shout him out plenty of times.
Yeah, he used to manage Little Brother, and even after that was over, he managed me as a solo act. And I mean, even to this day, he's still my de facto manager. We're just more like business partners at this point. A lot of things I do on my own or can do on my own. He helps me out with different things and advises me still. And we just went into business, actually, and started up a management firm together called Brothers Grand. And our first act is a young kid, I mentioned him earlier, from Charlotte, North Carolina, named Luke. That's L-U-T-E. He just signed a deal with Dreamville, which is J. Cole's label, and Interscope. So we're getting his first project ready for the world and keeping it moving on.
Okay, is he an MC or a singer?
He's an MC.
Okay, when should we be expecting that?
Hopefully soon. Hopefully before the end of the year. We just now, when you start dealing with big labels, you got to deal with, you know, all of the particulars of the sample clearances, the guest clearances, producer clearances. So we just going through the administrative part of the, it's already recorded. It's been recorded. We just going through the administration part right now. And once we get a handle of how long that's going to take, then we can set a time for the album. Oh, for the project, it's an EP, for that to be ready. But we already have a video in the can. We got a mini documentary in the can, so you can find out more about who he is and where he's from. And so we're going to be introducing him to the world, or reintroducing him to the world real soon.
No doubt. You know, EMC, they did their project, I think, back in 2015, and that was under penalty. And I had absolutely no idea that these labels were still around.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's definitely not what it used to be. This was a unique situation for him. I'm speaking of Luke, where J. Cole has been kind of watching him for a couple years now. And it just so happens at the time where I came in to help manage him, or to manage him, is also, it coincides with around the same time that J. Cole actually made a formal offer to him. You know, make no mistake, this is all the kids doing. Like, I don't know J. Cole. I've spoken to J. Cole twice in my lifetime. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't put that together. I didn't make it happen. And it just so happened at the time I linked up with him. Like, I've been knowing Luke for a few years, but when I came on in the official capacity is when the whole J. Cole situation kind of started to really take shape. And J. Cole, because of the success he's had, he was in a unique situation to not only have his own imprint, but also have a deal through Interscope Records. And so that's kind of how that came about, where they got the first right of refusal on any artist that he brought through his label. And they wanted loot over there. So that's kind of how that happened. You know, we were, the J. Cole situation would have never came about. Of course, we were all set with many different avenues for him to go on an independent level, but he was actually in a position, a unique position, to not only sign to one of the top artists who has a label that's actually doing things, but also sign to a major label, well, one of the few major labels that's still left. So that's not an opportunity that people receive every day or get a chance to have. And so, but I advised him. I told him, I said, look, man, of course, a lot of people will tell you or going to tell you that, oh, man, indie, do this, do this. But I said, the one thing, you will always have the opportunity to be an independent artist. That's never going to not be an opportunity or an option for you. But you won't always have the opportunity to take this step or play at this level or have these type of resources or have this type of machine behind you. And while you have it, take advantage of it. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, obviously, when the time comes, you can always go back and be an independent artist. But take advantage of the opportunity you have now, because it's not going to always be there for you.
Of course. As we were speaking earlier about this TCQ tribute song you recently did, one of Fife's rare, and I say rare because he did maybe a handful of singles and features after TCQ and the Ventilation LP, but this track I speak of was a remix he did with you and Slum Village a few years back, say about 2011.
Yeah, the thing is, that was actually my remix.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah, no. I can understand why you thought that, but what happened, I put out a song in 2011 called They Say. And my guy Sean Don from the Justice League, he helped me. He basically A&R'd my Dirty Pretty Things out in 2011. And we were thinking of something we could do to kind of keep the buzz going on the album. And he brought up the idea of doing a remix. And this was actually his idea. He's like, yo, you should do a remix. And he's like, yo, you should get Fife and T3 on the remix. And the idea was all three of y'all are from in the same lineage of groups. And Versus Tribe, then Slum, then y'all. And all three of y'all looked at as the quote-unquote other members of it. So I think it'd be dope if y'all did a record together. So my big brother Focus, he gave me the instrumental. So I had the track from him. And I reached out to T3, and that was easy because I had a working relationship with him already. And then I reached out to Fife through his DJ and manager, DJ Rasta.
Mississauga,
yeah.
What up?
Yeah, who I had a relationship with. So I reached out to him, and he got it to Fife, and he hit me back and was like, Fife loves the idea. He's working on it right now. And I was excited because up until that time, I had only met Fife one time at a Rock the Bell show, and it was brief. So he ended up sending it back, and then we had it. And then I actually ended up doing something for Fife on a record that I know up until the time, I had saw him a few months before he passed, and he told me that they were ready in the record, and that record was going to be a part of it. So I don't know what's going on with it now, but we had actually did another song where I did something for him, and we actually had phone conversation, text conversation, and talk. So, I mean, that's another reason why I did this Relax Yourself record, because I actually had, it wasn't like some deep, you know, we talk every week type of relationship, but I did have some type of relationship with Fife and some type of connection with Fife. And I ended up being on the Slum Village record. They were putting together one of their Dirty Districts or something, and they asked me, because T3 was on it, because it was just a Lucy remix, they asked me if they could use it and put it on their record. And so I was like, yeah, you can do that, you know, to get to more people. And that's how it ended up being labeled a Slum Village song, but it was actually my remix for a record off of my 2011 record, Dirty Pretty Things.
It's a great track, and I can totally imagine how you and Fife connected so well, because he's very into sports, and of course, you are as well.
Definitely, definitely. Very, very huge sports fan, and sports is first for me, man. It's not even music. A lot of people, they be like, oh, man, what do you listen to? Or you know this sample? You know, I'm like, nah, man, I don't know none of that. Like, I'm blessed with a talent and a gift to write, and I do love music, but sports has always been number one in my world, always.
Okay, in an interview, I heard they asked what your favorite NBA team was, and you said it was the Pelicans. And they were expecting that you'd be a Bobcats fan. But now that the Bobcats have went back to the Hornets name, the question is, who is your favorite NBA team right now?
They misprinted me if they put the Pelicans in there. I've never been a Pelicans fan. I'm actually a Washington Wizards fan. That's my hometown team, so that's who I cheer for. And never been a Bobcats fan, not a Hornets fan. It's Wizards or it's nothing.
One tweet you posted that caught my attention was, quote, "We have to stop to look at the entertainers to be the ones to raise us," unquote. And from my understanding of that tweet, when the listener gives their feedback, they'll say, you know, if it wasn't for this artist, if it wasn't for their album, their track, I wouldn't be where I am today. Or, I learned so much from this album, I learned so much from this track. Please give us more of your take on what you meant by that.
Definitely. I mean, when you have that type of emotional connection, it's a byproduct of what you do. But what I was speaking of more specifically is we heap a big responsibility upon entertainers to do things that isn't their responsibility. You know, the way I live my life is the way I live my life. And it's not, you shouldn't have your child looking up to me. They don't know me. They don't know what I do outside of the service I provide. And that's kind of where we've come as a society, where we have these entertainers, these athletes, these movie stars, and we have these kids looking up to them. And, you know, not just because of what they do, but we have them looking up to them, wanting to be them in life, and we have no idea what they do outside of the service they provide. And we don't know what demons they're dealing with outside of the service they provide. We don't know how they treat their spouses. We don't know any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have these kids looking up to them. And my whole thing was, if that person chooses to take on that role, fine, you hold them to that. If they don't choose to take on that role, you can't hold them to that. All you can judge them on is what you go to them for in the first place, for that service or that entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And your role model should be, the people who should be raising you should be people that you see every day or can see every day or can talk to every day or can see how they're living life. Like, this is how I want to live my life. I see this person go to work every day, come home, take care of his family, spend time with his kids, you know, go out and build treehouse. Like, give me knowledge, give me wisdom. Those are the people we should be looking up to today. Not people who we watch dribble up and down the court and then we don't know what they do when they leave the court. That's some of the most craziest shit to me, is people who, yeah, LeBron James, you phenomenal basketball player, you got to do everything right now. It's like, nah, just because I'm blessed with a talent or a gift to do something special that the average person can't do doesn't make me automatically a role model. Because there's a whole bunch of athletes and entertainers that I would never have my kid look up to. Yeah, be like him, son. No. Like, hell no. So that's kind of what I was talking about when I did that.
That reminds me of a skit from Snoop Dogg's second album where a kid says he wants to be like him and Snoop says, "Don't ever try to be like me."
Yeah. And that's another thing, is just idol worship. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not teaching kids to be like themselves. Be like you. You know what I mean? Don't be like me, be like you. That's kind of all of what went into the answer when I was answering that specific question.
There are reports recently floating around about a Little Brother reunion. Are there any plans or talks, or are they just nothing more than rumors?
Nothing really to report. It all stemming from, people, they like to take things out of context. I mean, that's the world we live in. But it all stemmed from an interview that Fonte did. And at the end of the interview, he clearly stated that even though he hadn't talked to neither I nor Knight about it, that at this, where he is now mentally, he will be open to something to bring closure to Little Brother. We didn't end it properly. It was a thing where we kind of just walked away from it. So he was just talking about how he don't know what it is. Obviously, we hadn't talked about it, but he will be open to doing something to put a period at the end of the sentence that is Little Brother. And people took that as, oh man, they working on a new album, or they doing this, doing that. And I was like, yo, he clearly said, because we actually haven't talked about it up until that point. We had been talking, but it was more on a personal level and rebuilding our personal relationships as opposed to trying to jump back into thinking about making music. Like, we hadn't even spoke about Little Brother up until that point. So that's just something where we have to sit down all together and figure out if it is something we want to do, and if it is, then what it is we want to do and how we want to do it. And when we figure that out, we'll definitely let people know. But there's no secret album in the works. There's no, like, there's nothing at this particular time.
Hey, it's all good. I, and I'm pretty sure many others, are just satisfied with what you've been releasing since then. You've done countless features. The most recent that I spun on this program was a track you did with Chuck Cross. What we'd also like to know is, who else are you in the works with currently and in the near future?
There's a few, like, I think it's one or two. I've really been laying low. 2016, I haven't really done much as far as being creative. I've just been concentrating on the management side with my young artists.
Oh, yes.
That's pretty much been my 2016. And I'm just really getting into a real good creative space now. So I do have some things that I'm working on, but I might have something come out before the end of this year, just like a little short EP. But other than that, whatever it is I'm working on is probably slated for sometime in 2017.
All right, looking forward to hearing it. As we were talking about Slum Village earlier, I remember about 2013, you were doing a tour with them. And one of the stops you were supposed to make was in my hometown of Hamilton, Ontario. Would you be doing any upcoming tours up north within the next couple of years or so in Canada, or even Ontario perhaps?
Yeah. I mean, even with the Slum thing, I was originally slated to be on the tour, but it didn't work out for financial reasons. So I didn't end up making the tour, but definitely have a few things planned for the future. You know, definitely coming up north to Canada. I actually had a couple offers, September, but I pushed the offers back because it didn't make traveling sense for me at the time in the midst of the other cities I was going to. So I had to kind of put that on hold, but I definitely plan to get back up to Canada. So,
really hope you make your way up to Southern Ontario soon. I haven't seen you since that 2005 Little Brother show. What I remember most was it was a scorcher that night. The performance, of course, was hot, but the venue was literally hot.
Yeah, I actually don't think I've been back to Toronto since. I went to Montreal, and I went to Vancouver, but I haven't been to Toronto since. Well, not since 05, but I think since 07.
Yeah.
08.
Yeah, that 07 one was part of your Get Back tour, the one you did in Toronto.
Yeah.
So where can people look you up?
They can catch me online on Twitter and Instagram, Rapper Big Pooh, everything spelled correctly. I have a Facebook fan page that, you know, I engage fans with, Rapper Big Pooh 1, that's the number 1. And then they can go to formembersonly.net and check me out. Right now it's just a store, like a merchandising store, but we're working on getting the actual website up so people can check tour dates and all different types of things. So, but that's where you can check me at when I'm online. mostly Instagram, Twitter, and the Facebook fan page.
Okay. Pooh, thank you once again. Everyone, check out all of his social media outlets. He's there frequently, more than once a day. So peep him online. And Pooh, once again, you enjoy your week.
No doubt, man. Thank you, man. I appreciate it as well.
And that was my interview with rapper Big Pooh. If you didn't get the Twitter the first time, it's RAPPERBIGPOOH. Coming up for the remainder of the hour, I crammed in a mix of Pooh features and faves. Go to GAMMACARUSH.CA for the playlist, podcast, and showtimes. Enjoy.
Girl, don't keep me waiting. Till the sun is your window. Let the music groove your soul. You ain't got no plan, girl. So let's party.
This is me. I
tend to move slow, ain't trying to rush you at all. But back in my younger days, my younger ways had me in my phone book wanting someone to call. But this is now, I'm just trying to chill and get to know you better. Be the one you bring when it's stormy weather. I let you know it's all good, yo. You remind me of a Madeline Woods. Oh, it's from Malik, the 5 foot freak, who said we should get together by the end of the week. And to think, back in London, you ain't really wanna speak. Yeah, stall me out, knowing I really wanna be. I kinda dig the game you're trying to play. Read between the lines of what I'm trying to say. We had a fork in the road, can go either way, and you decided to stay. Go girl. Moment in time.
Time with you's a vacation. Girl, don't keep me waiting.
So let's go.
No vacancy, you might as well consider yourself vagrant. This is for those that said we wouldn't make it and didn't understand how far that we would take it. Sitting back thinking in amazement, trying to figure out where their days went. That's why me and Pooh stick to the basics. Young and just face it, the game need a facelift. Some things rearrange, some to shapeshift. Cut and paste this. There's some cotton mouth looking, you should taste this. I'm Terry Tate on the mic, come face this. Got the gall in your truck like a U-Haul. Me and Tate do, y'all. You don't want it on the mic, you're singing, y'all. I heard your record and you sound better than who, y'all?
What is something new? You better.
Check Tigolo up and his body still stunning. Wifey talking about she still giving us, cause I hit her off with different strokes like Bill Drummond. You don't want beef cause they will run in your crib and bounce with the meter still running. Don't get it confused, the Mel B dudes do get down, and for that crown I'm still gunning. This is real, youngin'.
So let me tell you something, this 100 versus running. Pooh, we still gunning for that number one spot. Won't stop till I'm from the planet. Cemented at the top, drop me never. I'm as good as it get. Grip like flies on your television sets. Why you all upset? I'm just speaking the facts. Getting bent out of shape, you don't know how to act. Singing, I'm just talking about rap. Why you taking it all personal? I just said I was better than you. That's all. That's it.
Check Tigolo up in his body so drastic. His stage presence ain't wrapped too tight. It seems larger than life and he appears so massive. That's why you look at it like to watch me, cause I rhyme so classic like Tchaikovsky. And I ain't think about no paparazzi. Big dog, go and pop the Rossi. Cause this is a celebration with the beats and the rhymes and we elevating. And all the people I can tell they waiting.
My right hand so devastating. And it tend to have a mind of its own. It don't exhibit patience, racing through lines and books. Do this for a living, it ain't simple as it looks. When that ink run dry, better be a good cook. Have a job lined up or be a great crook. Another heart gets took.
Yeah, yeah. Ill mind is down
down with us, I say. The J Lee, they down with us, I say. Joe Sutter, he down with us. And Line Runner, yeah, he down with us, I say. Big Joe, he down with us. That's my manager, you know he down with us. And Old Dash is down with us. And Yazabra is down with us. And my man Joe Scudder, he's up in here. My man Sean Dawn, he's up in here. I stepped on stage just to scream, go ladies. And after my set, she went crazy. Slow it down, baby, I can't keep running. Energy after the show, focus up. One won't do, two's not enough. So why you in my ear with this falling love stuff? I'm just trying to break back. Let me see you climax. Want some little purrs on out to some Dilla tracks. I don't know what you've been told. You dealing with a player, pimp hand, ice cold. I'ma get this money, then get honey. So get ready, shake it down for me, lovely. Hold tight.
On the count of three, say fuck the police. Back at Tuli in the fleece. City popping in the streets, getting busy over beats. I'm fantastic, on another voyage. You know who the boy is, puffing on the line with ST. I wanna thank the who sold J Dilla his first SP. From the D back to NYC, I'm spitting game to this beat like it's a PYT. It's human nature to turn it up, burn it up. The illest soul Aquarian to ever serve it up. No, it ain't hard to tell who the realest is. Sean Dilla got the world on that J Dilla.
But you gon' pay, Jay, yeah. Say what you want, but they gon' play, Jay, yeah, yeah. Spent the last year tripping over all my fuck-ups. The game is full of roaches and rats, a bunch of suck-ups. Brown nose for a buzz. I'm trying to get drunk as Charlie Sheen B. Show me some love like Bernie Mac, say. With the pin poopy kind of crafty. Cause I ain't rolling with nine, they want shaft, mate. Trying out last, mate. Youngest be passe. I ain't going back to the bottom, that's where you got it from. And ain't no problem when you climb it to the top. Remember, problems resurface when you start to drop. The expectations of others determine when you flop. And even Sean John has a moment when he stop. But time waits for none, the grind waits for some. The blind choose to shun, and you're confused. There's some, if you believe that this brother's done, the truth is, I only begun, I go. I used to spend a lot of time trying to give y'all the best of me, and for my family and friends, they got the rest of me. I used to think this rap thing was my destiny, but I'm content now to let it be. I can let it be, and now my family and friends, they get the best of me. I used to think this rap thing was my destiny, but I'm content now, I can let it be. Two actors think I'm dyslexic, got that last line backwards. Know a few actors, one or two rappers. It's all entertainment, funny, ain't it? Been around dealers, been around shooters, been around fiends, been around scenes. Rated X, rated G, everything in between. Put out a few records, been doing my thing. Been in the VIP, been popping bottles, been throwing money, been knowing models, been on the major, been independent, been trying to stack dough and not have to spend it. I'm just saying that you the man. I'm just saying that you the man. That you the man. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that you the man. I'm just saying that you the man. I'm just saying that you the man. That you the man. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that you the man.
I've been nice as mama applied talcum. Get it by any means, brother Malcolm. Witness the outcome. Did it with some inhibitions, imagine without none. Fat boy, look at all these I have outrun, out them. Bones in your closet, I am not done. Over any instrumental thinking, I am red rum. Sooner you submit, the lesser chance of bedlam. You little kids probably should have been in bed, son. Grown man busyness, I don't care about the rest of rap silliness. You are looking at what the best really is. The Holy Trinity, I'm better than before. So it's like facing 10 of me. I pray to God to have mercy on my enemies. Picture me rolling red cup full of Hennessy. A black charge I call Eric the enemy.
Give a shit, he's just a sidekick. All I needed was a chance, little leeway. Was sold a parlay while being looked at sideways. Label management steadily, they got at me. Patiently waited, my turn still ain't hand me. Giving up Malik and living in a fantasy. Freestyle written lyrics, we're getting downplayed. It hurt my soul to the point I was in disarray. What the fuck can one do? What else can wifey say? Disgusted, distraught, some disillusionment. Crazy descent, being that I couldn't represent. With that, I kept my distance, disclosing what I conceived. Had to distinguish who I was from what they thought I'd be. Life of the party, watch the fight to do the thing. The greatest leaders had to learn to follow. Now kiss the ring.
To the Lord, sit with me. Presently, I'm making music, moving like a symphony. Using rhyming words with these metaphors and similes. Only enemy I see is probably it's the enemy. That's in my blood, and you ain't even kin to me. Y'all us looking a big fat DC. K, bud, I told him, looking, hold on. The Lord told me that he blessed the pages that I wrote on. So I cannot go wrong when I write. Up late at night, saving my light, a true Jedi Knight. Damn right, say goodnight. Back to the subject, bust this. I'm sick, can't touch us with oven mitts. I'm back in the kitchen, cooking up. You lacking attention that I'm gonna get.
Shipped off the same assembly line. Wanna be king of the jungle, you think in this line. You the best at dressing up, is what you really implying. Swag, here today, gone the next week. Either stand for something or just stay sleek. What it is, most of y'all prefer to stay chic. Following the follower, the future looks bleak. Shout out to M-Eazy, the most known unknown, can't see thee. Bottom line, or even the in-betweens. Until it's all done, I'm talking queens. Things is uneasy when you switching up the scenes. Better stay inside that fence with an AstroTurf green. Yeah, this is what they call boom bap. Where they trying to figure out what's in that backpack. Gold chains like I'm bringing Slick Rick back. No aim, extra clips for that Black Mac. Neither. One time for the believers who wonder why my name ain't burning up, catching fevers. It's better than being mourned by the grievers. We on our pockets, right? They can't see us. I'm in all black and brown, the provider of the sound. Drinking rain that we never been crowned. And light a candle. God gave you just enough for you to handle. I understand, though. Didn't try to put a trophy on a mantle. And light a candle. God give you just enough for you to handle. I understand, though. Didn't need role models, it's a sample.
You rappers are so flaky. You can love or hate me, it won't break me. Don't respect what you build and your foundation shaky. Outfit ain't worth a penny and that's words to JC. So go.
Corey Haynes. Look, either you gon' get off the pot, it seems you poorly trained. Captain Fat Sparrow, I'm running a tight ship. 25-8, ain't no day or no night shift. I want a pretty girl with a mom just like a vice grip. You ain't never seen two fats looking like this.
What up? And light a candle. God keep you just enough for you to handle. I understand, though. Trying to put a trophy on a mantle. And light a candle. God keep you just enough for you to handle.
This is Apollo Brown. Yo, you're checking in with Gamma Crush.
Cold is the cold in the wintertime. Slow rhyme when I rhyme, no beginner I'm. City walk when they said trying to make a dime. They don't ask for too much, just a little shine. Little time on the grind, try to get that guap. Wasn't worth 8 years for your first time pop. Now you back rehabilitated, punching the clock. Old neighborhood witnessing your man in the drop. Got the drop on that. Said he running the block. Graduated from the greens to serving up rock. So you plotting, you thinking, you sit on the plan of some ski match. But that's your man, I'm saying. You trying to push reason to the front and put a block on that other shit you want. But the streets keep calling your name. A 9-to-5 slave to the rhythm ain't bringing you fame. So it's back to the game. Round up a little game, set it up to stick your main. But he stick you first. Goodbye.
I seen them rise, seen them fall, seen them come, seen them go, seen them all. Seen stars with their name on the wall till the money get tight and the limelight's gone.
3 a.m. in the backseat leaning, thinking about all the things I seen.
Remember, before Ziggin was on the bandwagon, I fell asleep to the sound of hand cannons, leaving holes in souls the size of Grand Canyons. Late nights, Bingham Street with my man Brandon. Fast forward 12 years, now we grandstanding. Because I'm maintaining without man tanning. And it made me an animal. But I need another quota book for the catalog. I could dumb down and rap for bitches and alcohol. But I'm too loud and too proud to tap dance for these black dogs. So won't be no Gregory Hines. When Tay get hostile, he spit gospel like he in the Winans. And right now, he in the finding. A new platform for the rhymes that I arrange. And new ideas for the lines that I exchange. Cause I can't be a laughing stock, homie. That'll be a crying shame. All I need is 6 bars in the intro. Cause I relate to these beats like we was kinfolks. And the flow so fresh like mint. And this is all real talk, that's for your info, cause that's where I've been, yo.
I seen them rise, seen them fall, seen them come, seen them go, seen them all. Seen stars with their name on the wall till the money get tight and the limelight's gone.
3 a.m. in the backseat leaning, thinking about all the things I seen, man.
Grinding, time in, back up, stepped up, so quiet, could have crept on a sucker. From behind and blew the breath out the buster. But instead, held my head like a hustler. Parked up to get the sound of the muffler. Heard him clown about his pounds being fluffier. Telling niggas out of town they'll be luckier. It gets sad when the hood had enough of ya. Poke, zipping, fuck at ya. Poke you in your juggler. But when you high, you feel zipping, can't up with ya. I'm surprising, zipping, still had customers. Shut my eyes and they held my smoke. Trying to decide, should I let him slide? But nope, nope. He broke ties when he spoke his lies. Telling spies that he hope I die. So my reply is, to keep it real, I hope he could fly. Cause I'ma send him to them open skies.
I seen him rise, seen him fall. Seen him come, seen him go, seen him all. Seen stars with their name on the wall till the money get tight and the limelight's gone.
3 a.m. in the backseat leaning, thinking about all the things I've seen. And
seen them rise, seen them fall. Seen them come, seen them go, seen them all. Seen stars with their name on the wall till the money get tight and the limelight's gone.